5:59, I'll call the meeting of Ashland Tree Commission to order. First up is the approval of minutes from last month. They would like to
make a motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, next up is we have a public forum, so if anybody's here to speak on a matter not on the up for review, now's the time, and I have some speaker request forms, so we'll just do those in the order that I receive them. So Julie Norman,
come on down.
Well, I'm just here to say thank you.
Yeah, and if you wouldn't mind giving us your name and address. And
Julie Norman, 596 Hellman. If you might remember, about a year and 1 week ago, there was quite a hubbub with the Parks Department decision to cut down those two big trees. And thanks to the unanimous recommendations that the Tree Commission presented to the Parks Commissioners, they eventually came around and adopted your proposal. And I'm just so thankful that you did that, because I think the clout of this committee had, in the end, quite a bit of power. And it's a great story.
And we get the garden to boot, so it all worked out.
Yeah, and I understand there's an update coming from the Parks Commission on the progress with the garden planning, the Japanese garden planning. I think it's on the 10th?
I think so, yeah. And so, I could also mention we've enlisted Kincaron Landscape Architect to help with the plan, and she's developed a tree protection plan along with us. And, such just she's gets as good at developing the official plans to help Toru with that. So right. Should be a good thing.
So many thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks.
Next up, I'm sorry, Risa. Well, there's Risa. Come on down.
Hules.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Hi, Hules.
Hi. Lots of work to do. I tease Kelly and everybody about, hey, you can't even keep biz as usual together, and now we have to do 10 times that much and reinvent all the codes and everything. That darn whatever it is. So my particular specialty is to keep everybody in the car, what eventually, in time, be mad at the gas and the faucets. Then the electric cars will take its place, and then the roofs will charge the electric cars because we can't get it from Bonneville because the wires are already full. That's why it has to be on all the roofs. Sorry, Maria. Yeah, so I'm running for community development director for this one reason. And it's going to take that kind of a top down. On and on and on. So I cruise after my eyes don't read anymore. I go to the YouTubes, and here I am talking at the city council. So I'm going to send you that link, whereby, amongst other things, I say, I'll ask them how many trees. So a whole house, their energy, and then their carbons, and their car, and then their carbons. How many trees would that equal, the whole roof of collecting the solar, reducing the carbons, how many trees would that equal? I don't know if you bumped into that, I don't think you did. That's the question. How many acres of trees, full-grown trees, would 1 ounce's worth of added carbons require to even balance, not reduce, but just to equal. So
is this a koan?
So I explained it on my little detail.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks, Joel.
Okay, Risa.
Hi, my name's Risa. I'm 5:59, and the inspiration for me having a chance to come to Tree Commission was a situation that I don't really want to go into the detail. Well, I'll just say that the inspiration was watching a raccoon that was treed all the way up, a 100-foot tree, heritage tree on oak and bee, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I'd invited Mike Bartlett, and I understand he's here. Cool. We spoke on the phone.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here. So I'm here with two requests to the Tree Commission. Because we can't do anything about what happened, but we can make some changes possibly going forward in two areas. One that has to do with dealing with wildlife that gets in the way of trees coming down. That's the first one. And the second one is looking at the guidelines that exist for caring for trees in construction zones, because I'm no arborist, but just from observing over the years, that particular lot has lost, now it's lost, I believe, two trees, and there may be more dying as we speak, and I believe that the most recent tree that came down that was dead was a heritage tree. And it's in a historic district, and so it seems to me that maybe the Historic Commission and the Tree Commission may come together to help do two things. And the first one has to do with creating a best practices for interface with wildlife. I don't know if that exists, but I would suggest that it be reviewed and it be strengthened tenfold. And same with the, just looking at more than in a historic district, in a city that talks a good tree talk, help to protect the trees as well as the buildings. They I think they really go hand in hand for a healthy community. So I think that's enough. And I believe there's two arborists here that I'm really glad that they are here. And I think it's so important that business is a part of the solution. So,
awesome.
I think that's it. And I would be interested in if this is, you know, an item on a future agenda, maybe Kat could shoot me an email or something, because I really would like to help to support this making some progress.
We have vacancies on the commission.
Well, I already serve on the Ashland Conservation and Climate Outreach Commission. The Conservation Commission got a new name, so that's why I have to
bit of a mouthful
think
right
about
now.
How to say it, because it's a mouthful. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. And Mr. Bartlett, that's you on the agenda. Did you want to?
Hey guys,
come say.
Hey, hi. Thanks, Risa. That was well said. So she's right, though. There was a little incident that was downtown. We had to remove a heritage cedar, and I'm glad that she brought that up about pre-construction, tree protection ordinances, because we came in after the fact. You know, I mean, you guys are out there doing tree work. You know how that all goes. We kind of get called in for the triage, but I have a question. Do you guys have a current tree protection?
There's an extensive section of the development code that details tree protection measures during development. Yes.
Okay, so because, I mean, we do that, like when we're going out on a pre-construction site, we'll say, here's the critical root zones. You guys need to set up barricades here, and we've done that for people too, but I don't know if they did that on that project.
It would have been required to. I don't know how well it was done, especially with a big old tree like that.
Yeah, it was there. It was 4 foot diameter.
There was a big oak next to it as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you guys have enforcement on that? I mean, do people drive around and look?
We do. Before building permits are issued, planning staff goes to examine tree protection materials, make sure it's where it should be in accordance to the approved plan. The approved plan would be reviewed by the tree commission before it ever makes its way through planning approval. So yes, there is a definite focus on that. Yeah.
Cool. Right on. So that might answer Risa's question on that. And then, so Risa called me, and she was great to call me because, you guys, I mean, we're advocates for trees and wildlife and all that. You know, they've been here forever, and that's just what good tree guys do. Pete and Chris, Asa, you guys. Situations like this come up, and she asked me, Mike, is there a best management practice for that? And I told her, I don't think there is. So what I did was I did some research. I called the International Society of Arboriculture, the home office, and they did some research, and they came up with Brian French's, you know, program that we did down here at Southern Oregon University. Ace was there.
Migratory bird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so that, and we all know about that, the Federal Migratory Treaty Bird Act of 1918, and that protects special birds, a lot of birds, doesn't protect starlings, and it also protects some fur-bearing animals. You can look that up. I forget which section it is and stuff. But it says on the fur-bearing animals that that they're protected unless they're creating a safety hazard, which in this situation the raccoon was, because he's in this dead tree that's losing limbs, and that's why the owner wanted to remove it, because he's afraid somebody's going to get hurt. Maine, it's right there, right downtown. And there's a raccoon up there. And so it's like, but it doesn't tell you how to deal with it. It just says if it's creating a safety hazard, that's it. End of story. So, anyway, I called the ISA, talked to them about it. I called some of the higher-ups who are the tree experts. They're like a nationwide tree company, and asked them if they have any problems up in Portland or nationwide. And they said they don't know of anything like that. They've been around here for 100 years, except for the Federal Migratory Bird Act. So it's a big one to bite off and chew if you want to come up with best management practices for interacting with wildlife and trees, fur-bearing animals. But the thing of it is, I think the best thing to do at this point would just to be have an awareness situation. I don't know if you guys put that out in newsletters in the city of Ashland, but awareness that arborists are people that are out there trying to, you know, make things safer for our community. And we don't just remove trees. We do so much more tree preservation stuff than we do on removals. There needs to be that so that people are aware of what we do. And when we do interface with wildlife and trees, that there are some protocols for that. And when there's not protocols, that we're advocates and we're stewards of our urban forest. And we try to do the best we can with what we got, you know, without putting ourselves in more harm's way, because we're already putting ourselves in harm's way every day out there trying to make things safer and healthier out in our urban forests. I think there needs to be more awareness about that. And the other thing I think is if we're going to do a best management practice for wildlife and trees, we need to do a best management practice for crowd control around tree work sites. Because here's the thing, you get people that are coming out of the woodwork and they're yelling obscenities and they're jumping up and down, they're walking down the street, they're bringing their kids out there, And we're already trying to focus on a very dangerous situation, and all this is going down that's creating distraction. Somebody's going to get hurt or killed out there when that's going on. So there needs to be some kind of a control mechanism to, like, abate that so that we can do what we do in a professional, safe manner. So those are my points. And if you guys do decide to do some kind of a best management practice, I'd love to be invited to that meeting because I'd like to, you know, give you some of my ideas and stuff on that too. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for coming in, Mike.
Yeah, thanks.
You're not aware of anything on the books, are you, Aaron, as far as wildlife goes? All right, I don't have any more speaker requests. Is there anyone here else would like to speak on the public forum portion of the meeting?
Sure. Yeah. Linda Peterson Adams. I also can't be on the Tree Commission because I'm on the Transportation Commission. I'll although you guys do such a marvelous job, and I know how difficult it is to see all these really big trees coming down. I think it's not only tree protection before the trees are coming down in development, it's also maintenance of those trees after the development is done. So I think that should be either coded some way in some kind of ordinance, because I've worked with arborists. I had a landscaping company in Eugene, and I know that cedar may have been able to be saved had there been deep watering, mycorrhizal injections, all kinds of different things. They did not water that whole area and lost three major conifers.
Thank you.
So I think that you need to take that next step in developing ordinances that protect the trees after development is done.
Yeah, the watering piece is often omitted, as well as mulch, and the zones aren't big enough, especially for trees that big. And, yeah.
So, mitigation is fine. You cut down these majestic trees all over town and you put in a few more little saplings somewhere, but saving these trees in the first place should be a priority.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for taking the time to come speak at public forum. But I'll move on to liaison reports. Peter, got anything? What's happening in the parks?
Well, I don't know if you were going to mention this, Aaron, but Ashland received its 35th.
I was going to mention it, but go ahead, please.
Okay. And Mike Oxendine is talking about that 35th consecutive Tree City USA.
Does it make us the oldest, second oldest?
There's maybe a few ahead of us. It's on the list. But,
pretty tight.
We're up there, yeah. Then the third growth award for Tree City USA. That means we did some things to go over and above.
Like what?
I think that big tree planting that Mike headed up last mm-hmm. year at the golf course was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the Oregon Community Tree Board, so I think that might help itself.
I saw that too. I was curious if there were concrete things we could do or shoot for to
I'm not totally sure about all of
maybe
the
expanding tree protection ordinances during the
summer. Yeah, right. I just heard about that, so that would be a good goal. So anyway, yeah, that's the main thing I was going to mention.
Aaron,
can
you steal your thunder?
Well, only one of my items. Some of you may recall 479 Russell, which is a mixed-use building north of the railroad district. There was an issue shortly after it was developed where the HOA, without consultation, anyone on city staff, took it upon themselves to remove the three or four street trees in front of that development. It resulted in a code enforcement issue that ended up going to court. This is about 2.5 years old. Long story short, it sounds like it's wrapping up to conclusion, and we would hope that those trees are going to be replaced in the next week or two. So it's been quite a process. That's the only other item I have.
I had a question for Peter about all the tree cutting that's been going on the flanks above Lithia Park there, kind of up behind the Parks and Rec office there.
Oh, the thinning.
Yeah,
there.
The thinning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the... I was a little bit shocked. I went hiking along that hillside, not on the trails, just kind of wandered all over there. There's a dramatic amount of trees gone.
Yeah, it does look a lot different, I have to admit.
There's so many trunks on the ground, you can barely walk around. So I'm just curious about what's their criteria. Are they done taking out trees? Were they focusing on certain species and...
Well, the big stuff that you're seeing are the ponderosa pines that unfortunately have been being killed by the bark beetle.
So most of those were diseased.
Really dozens of those, unfortunately. So that was kind of a separate thing from the general thinning, which was mostly
Madrone,
like underbrush, manzanita, madrones, small conifers.
Okay.
And fire safety is kind of the end goal of that.
Right.
It's kind of a congested area pretty close to town. So.
And the big logs, are they going to be taken down to the firewood place? Or they can't possibly be thinking about
burning
them. I
think those will mostly just
them.
Be left...
Oh,
where
really?
They are, and decompose.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's so hard to get them out of there when they're inaccessible like that.
Right.
It's kind of a long process, but eventually they'll rot.
And it's not a problem in terms of the beetles just staying there and infecting other trees?
I think the beetles leave those after they're dead and there's nothing in them for them. I think it's tough to control those beetles all in all, but doing what we can.
Yeah, because even if you haul the logs away, the beetles are going to come from somewhere else.
Right, when they're around, it's really a difficult thing. And there's no watering going on up there. It's just a natural area. Another heads up, I think starting in March, those piles are due to get burned, so it's going to be kind of smoky in that area.
Thanks.
Which area is this again?
The flanking hill there, like in particular, if you just look behind the Parks and Rec office up there, that whole hillside below the road, there's been like extensive.
It's like the Avista gap for the gas.
Yeah, you'll recall we were briefed on that.
Yeah. I guess I wasn't prepared for the extent. I hadn't known how many trees were diseased up there. I've been noticing a lot of really stressed out oaks on those hills too. A lot of them look like they're dying. There's really heavy infestation of the mistletoe.
Oh yeah,
and tons of the trees up there. It's not looking very healthy.
Yeah,
I have to say.
Done a little bit of mistletoe pruning, but that's
someone's mistletoe pruning up on Strawberry Hill right now. I don't know who's doing that.
That would be me.
Oh, that's you? Oh, thank you for doing that. Because there's some nice little oak groves up there that
are
heavily infested, so I appreciate that. Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Great.
Anything else? We'll move on to the reviews. All right, this is the time and place for the Tree Commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in the scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping of trees. The following procedure will be used in this hearing. Number one, the public hearing will be opened, and those interested in stating their positions regarding a matter to be considered will be invited forward to speak. During the public hearing portion, all who wish to give testimony regarding a specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward to the table at the appropriate time. Give your name, address, and make your statement. Secondly, at the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report on the action and conditions of approval. At this time, tree commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. Three, after the staff report, the applicant's representative will have 15 minutes to present the proposal. The commissioners may ask questions of the applicant or the applicant's representative without affecting the 15 minutes allocated for the applicant's presentation. Four other members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those wishing to testify shall be called forward and give testimony. Five, the staff will then be given an opportunity to respond to any question of the commission or any matter which is raised. And then finally, the applicant will then have 5 minutes of rebuttal time, after which the public hearing portion will be closed. And just to open to rearranging the agenda as need be, we've got a handle on that.
We'll find as it is,
Case the first two. Okay. We'll keep it as is, and I'll call to order public hearing, planning action, PA Tree 2020-00093. This is at 470 Applegate Way, owned by Applegate Industrial Arts. The applicant is Bill Robertson. Request to remove three redwood ash trees along a sidewalk. The applicant states that the species selection and location are inappropriate as these trees are causing uplift of the sidewalk. The applicant submitted a brief narrative prepared by Casey Boland Tree Care. Anything?
I would just like to point out that as we're reviewing this application in particular, we should keep in mind the criteria for approval of a tree that is not a hazard. At present, there is no uplift that is causing ADA issues. These trees are located along a pedestrian walkway that serves the flagpole this property is developed off of. The trees are very mature and unfortunately are very close to the sidewalk, and I would have Casey and Bill speak for themselves on the rest of the application.
Okay. Casey and Bill, come on up.
I'll go first.
Yeah, go first.
I'm the applicant. This is my building. And I went to Casey to talk about pruning. And I've done some pruning, and just the sidewalk is beginning to lift. It has not met the ADA standard, but, you know, by the time you do that, then we're talking hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars in repairs. The pictures I submitted hopefully are clear. I bet you've all done a great job and gone there and looked at them and walked up and down the sidewalk and saw the lifting of the panels and know that it's inevitable. There's three of them there. I'd like to take all three of them down, grind out the stumps, and I'd like to replant two trees. Because between the sidewalk and the curb for the driveway access is relatively narrow, whereas between the sidewalk access and the property line, there's a much greater distance. And my neighbors don't have any trees. I don't even think they got the final. So their landscaping, everybody's landscaping is there, is very minimal, except for mine. It's very nice. It's extensive. We irrigate. I know people kill the development trees. All you got to do is pump water. But anyway, I would like to remove these three and plant two new ones that are more appropriate for that space. Everybody go look. Okay, thank you very much.
That's it.
Yeah. And my concern is the danger to the sidewalk, and they're just too big. One of them's like 18 inches from the sidewalk. And you know, probably 16 inches at the ground, 6 inches above the ground level, like, you know, 12 at DBH or something.
Just a point of order, because it's a tree that is not a hazard, the requirement for a mitigation tree is required for each tree that's approved for removal. Mm-hmm. So you might need to consider other mitigation options, including off-site mitigation or mitigation through an in-lieu fee.
Or I could plant some smaller
tree. Say a smaller stature tree.
You know, I could put a little Japanese maple or something of the sort in that narrow space between the curb and the sidewalk, something that would be aesthetically pleasing and not...
What species were you planning?
You know what? Casey and I talked about having plant arabic come out and look and talk. Something that won't lift the sidewalk. Something that won't get as big as the Raywood ash. I'd like something to be, you know, 20 or 30 feet tall and 20 feet wide instead of 60 feet tall and 40 feet wide.
Okay. Any other questions for Bill? Or Casey, did you want to... Speaker piece, or
can I?
Oh, sure, man.
I haven't sat here in a long time.
Say, Billy's got a
right
spot for you.
Before I did agree to say, I actually got kicked out of here. hi,
tell
tree.
Me that story.
Oh my God! It's really good.
No, that'd be a conflict of interest.
No, I'm not private.
Perfect. Good to see you, sweetie. All right. Anyway, so Bill contacted. I parked my truck like right next door. So Bill contacted me and said, "Hey, could you give me a cost estimate to prune these trees? I don't want to screw them up." And I'm like, "All right, doing great." So, and I provide that, and we were agreeable to that. And he said, "So, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, knowing what I know, so it's Fraxinus oxycarpa, right? They're claret ash. They're narrowleaf ash. A little further digging, you'll find that they usually graft the oxycarpa onto Caucasian ash rootstock." because the just straight oxycarpus tend to topple. 27 of them went over in one night at SOU, the corner of North Mountain and Starflower and right Hersey, you know, that little neighborhood. Mm-hmm. 9 of them went over that night. That's the HOA that I take care of. They're a disaster. When they graft them onto Caucasian ashes, they don't topple, but they tend to heave stuff. I love it when trees jack up sidewalks. To me, it just, yes, it's like a big get back, right? Unfortunately, it's his property. He has to deal with it. So is he going to, and I did have a cut and break and A&C, I think it was A&C, I'm not positive, two concrete contractors go out there and say, hey, when this jacks the curb and the sidewalk and that padmount transformer, what's the bill? And they said anywhere between $5,000 and $7,000, give or take. And of course, that's hearsay. You don't know that they said that. I'm just going off what I know. So is he going to put $7,500 of the concrete back on the trees that jacked up in the first place? So there's one tree that's in the park row, right? Imagine between the curb and the sidewalk. Did you guys do measurements there? 24-19 on this side. The tree that's, if you keep going south, is, that's 9 inches, that's 8. It's that far away from the edge of the concrete. It's starting to heave it. It's not ADA non-compliant, as it were.
Which is what, a quarter inch, Aaron?
Not much. And then the other one is, it's kind of a wobbler, but there is a giant root pushing towards the pot shop, the big ganji place there, and going right towards that pad on a transformer. So is, that's private property, right?
You referred to it as a park row. To me, a park row is...
No, that's all you.
That's all private property.
So he is going to incur about $7,500 worth of in the future. He doesn't want to lose canopy. He never called me to take the trees down. He said, prune the trees. I don't want to screw them up. I can do that. And then he said, what's your take on the trees? And I said, they're gonna jack your stuff, dude. They're going to break all the concrete up. So we don't want to lose canopy in this town. That's our most crucial thing. It's like, we need this. It's not the spot for that. All it does is shade the pot shop next to him. It offers him no benefit. So what he's willing to do, right, do 3 great specimen trees that will be 300 years old. Long after probably Athlon is gone, these trees will still be there, off-site. If you want to do them on-site, I wouldn't do those. You know, you could do crepe runnels if you want, or whatever you want. You can do hammers, or tridents, or big tooths, or... So the Raywood ashes, typically, most if you look at UC Davis, they banned them, pretty much. Not banned them, but non-recommended street trees, because they heave sidewalks. Botryosphaeria canker comes in, diplodia. You see big Raywoods where one limb dies, then another limb dies, the whole thing looks like hell. Or they jack up concrete or they topple. So what we're thinking is, if he can hold his ropes and count his losses now and placate the city with whatever little plan he needs to do there, you're willing, to do 3 really nice trees that will be there in a park, a church, city property, off-site, somewhere. However you guys want to do it. And I'll even kick in a tree for you. So you only have to do 2, but you said 2. I heard that. I'll do 1 tree.
Arbor Day's coming up?
We'll get to that later. Anyway, we want canopy. He doesn't want to take them down. I don't want to take them down. We're just falling on the sword here. Let's not have him do $7,000 of the concrete. He's not going to pour $7,000 of the concrete back onto the trees and jack them up in the first place. So if the fine, let's just say the fine is, for the sake of argument, 500 a tree or 1,000 a tree. Dude, we're 3,500 ahead. we'll cut them down. Right? But what we want to do is we want big trees. We want three big trees somewhere, right? Just not there. Bare shrub, boulder, anything, but you cannot do. If you look at your recommended street tree guide, do you have that here, the city recommended street tree guide? Yep. So if you look on the park row, they want they're calling for a 5-foot park row in the Raywood. I think in a, it's flame or it would be. Let's just go park row. All right. There it is. I didn't read them saying, bam. And that would be a 5-foot park row. So your trees are, one of them is 8 inches away from the sidewalk. One of them is in a 4-foot park row, and it's going to blow that curb, and it's already starting to jack the. And the other one is, well, I mean, if you did a site visit, you saw it. So to appeal to the good nature of the Treaty Commission, I think it would be a great idea to pull those things out of there. They don't do you any good. They just do your neighbor good. SunTrack, right? So the trees are here. SunTrack, Pot Shop, that's your project. I didn't see a lot of places on your site that's suitable. What if we did? If you did 2 and I did 1, and we do a really nice, like a 3, a trifecta of oats or something in the park. If you're agreeable to that. And if you're agreeable to that.
Well, we can move on to that. Yeah.
It's something to think about.
Yeah.
But you make the call. I don't want to say that, you know, we got to take them out because they could break the sidewalk. Every tree is going to break the sidewalk someday. So.
You have questions for Casey?
Come on, just one.
How about giving 5 more years?
5 more? Yeah, you might get 5.
Why not just give them 5 more years?
You certainly can, absolutely.
I'd be game for that. So in 5 years, I can cut them down.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying just give them 5 more years. Why do they need to come out now? I mean, it's not like a critical. The lift that I saw certainly didn't seem terrible, and it's not a high traffic area.
No,
but
it's not ADA.
They are offering benefit to the building in terms of shading and reducing cooling costs, and you know, to me, it's just like if we can get 5 more years of carbon capture out of those trees, I'd be happy.
could we get 300 years out of 3 really good plantings?
Well, yeah, let's do that in 5 years. Unless you want to plant them now, that's fine. You can go ahead and plant those now. But that would be my question. Would you be willing to just wait a little while and then we can have our conversation about it? So
I'm willing to wait if the outcome is what we're talking about. I mean, so if it's let's capture carbon for 5 years and or the sidewalk doesn't meet ADA, and then I have permission to take down the trees when one of those two things takes place, Then I'm game for that conversation. Absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah. I have 13 acres on the hills above Ashland. I'm a forester by education.
Yeah.
I chaired the Forest Commission for the first 13 years of its existence here. I'm game. I capture a lot of carbon compared to most people.
That's
drive
awesome.
The neighborhood. Look how few other trees there are. Look at everybody else's landscape. You know, they don't even have C of O's. They didn't plant any trees. They got no bushes. They don't have to.
Yeah.
I did all that. I have that.
Yeah.
I have many other trees on this lot. These trees should go.
Yeah. Any other questions?
I have no loss for Raywoods, honestly, but professional experience with them, they're just problematic trees. But yeah. I'm open.
I don't have any more questions. But I think we should discuss this for sure.
Yeah.
Can I do one more suggestion? If we're going to take the 3 down, let's say that we just let them sit for 5 years and they jack your concrete. Are you going to pour $7,500 to $8,500 of the concrete back on the trees that just cost you $8,000. I wouldn't. I don't think anybody in the room would. That was kind of a loaded question. I didn't mean for you to answer it. I'm just.
How long do decisions last for, Aaron?
After approval, it would be valid for 18 months, and then there would be the option to extend it for a fee. So basically, 18 months is the short answer.
That's a pretty nominal fee.
It's a fairly significant fee.
Oh, significant fee to extend? Mm-hmm. A $30 permit?
Of course. One last question. If I go tomorrow and I cut all those trees down, what's the fine we're going to get?
Yeah, typically it's...
We're not quite there yet. Yeah. We haven't even had a chance to really discuss it amongst ourselves. So.
There's significant language in the ordinance for...
500 a tree or 1,000 a tree or... There's going to be a number, right?
There are... Well, so there's a per caliper inch fee in addition to the individual fee for the violation of the ordinance. And they all stack and they're cumulative. So there's a number of different fines that can be levied.
Okay. So, but I was never, when I was sitting there, there was never a caliper per inch. It was $500 a pop. Is that the way you remember it? The answer is that the way you remember it? So that the way they remember it is $500 a pop. So the $500 a pop or $1,500, you save them there you go.
What about this? Just spitballing here.
That wouldn't be my
choice.
But it's always nice to know the boundaries.
Well, can we preemptively approve if you meet that quarter-inch play that ADA would come into play?
I think we could.
Like in the next 18 months? Because I get it. You don't want to get to the point where it's too late.
Right.
Nobody's sitting there watching the concrete every week, and all of a sudden... Are you? Okay.
I wish I had taken pictures 2 years ago.
Because
concrete has risen. It does not violate ADA. But it was a good 2 inches lower 2 or 3 years ago.
It's risen. So what is the crash? Is the separation of panels? Is
that Once you get the tripping.
And then what happens is you end up grinding them. So you lose that complete finish that is there now.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's been modified. Because that's cheaper than laying two new panels and cutting out the roots. And
one more thought. What if we go halfway between... Hello?
Oh, sorry.
What if we go halfway between that and we say the one that's 9 inches, that's 8, if we do that one this year, we replace one in a common space. We keep an eye on it. Nothing bad's happening. Boom, boom. 2 years later, boom, do the next one. And phase out, phase in. So that we have, because he doesn't want to take the trees down. He didn't contact me to take the trees down. The cost to take the trees out of the perimeter are the same. I'm not going to, I have no vested interest in this. Even though, yes, one way or another, I'm either pruning or taking them out, or you hire somebody else. I don't care. But, and then the third tree, of course, by that time, we have canopy somewhere that's actually doing... And trees that are going to last for 300 years. Raywood ashes, typically, what's the oldest raywood ash I've ever taken down?
60.
Maybe. At the most. At the very most. And that would be a rarity. Most tree trees, according to Ann Rich, what, 8 years? And of course, it is a private. But so we don't want to lose canopy. We just don't want to incur. My client doesn't want to incur $1,000 of concrete work. So if we could do something for the betterment of everybody, which is A, not have to jack up the concrete, replant something, and the city does allow, according to that, for him to put that same tree back in the same spot. Why would you, in other words, wouldn't you rather have a 5-foot diameter white oak for your grandkids somewhere? And he's totally willing to do that. And I am too. And I think everybody in the room is too. And it just makes sense to me that putting the raywood ash there, I don't know if you inherited it or if you did that.
You
inherited
it. I inherited it.
Yeah, so it was an asinine design to begin with. And but there's no putting toothpaste back in the tube.
Those trees were planted. The building was built in 2003. So right. Those trees are 17 years old.
We're trying to right the wrong. And
they're not 30 or 40 or 50 years old. They're 17 years old.
Exactly.
And they're starting to lift us up.
Okay. Robert's rule of order. We're going to
we'll
close the public hearing portion. Talk amongst yourselves.
I think if these were street trees, public trees, say, you know, the sidewalk's still pretty good. You can grind the sidewalk, it's fine. They're not public trees. When I was checking them out, I felt like I was trespassing. I was like, is this okay that I'm here? You know, and you look at Airily, it's not, you know, it's all private. So I think if they were public trees, I would say absolutely not. Like, you grind the sidewalk for decades, and so. But I think we have more, you know, like Casey said, you know, financially it makes more sense just to bite the bullet with a fine, and it sounds like they're willing to do that. Even though we don't want to see people do that, that's the reality of it. So I think as a commission, we have more sway with getting what we want by essentially having, you know, a recommendation attached with the approval. So that's how I feel.
Say that again, a recommendation attached.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like they're willing to, you know, mitigate the tree removals and have three additional trees off-site. Did I hear that correct?
Mitigate with a smaller tree?
Yeah, mitigate with a smaller tree and have some kick butt trees off-site.
It would have to be your call as to what you're going to put in that.
Crape myrtle or something.
Small. Yeah, the problem is it's like asphalt, just blast. And if you were going to put something in there, it's just going to fry. To me, more shrub there inside between the curb and the sidewalk. The other side where the other two are, you could do more of a a smaller stature tree. There's just, I can't think of a tree that's going to work between the sidewalk and the curb. Unless you have, Genoa, Hammer.
Yeah, the sidewalk.
They're still going to fry.
It's required pedestrian connectivity.
Yeah. It's going to, you have to be able to pull out and see, right? You've got to have so many feet of elevation before you get down by it. It's just a horrible place to put a, but I'm willing to, if you can think of something that'll go there.
And I forget, Bill, back in your back parking lot, you've got some space, right? You've got some bigger trees back there.
I do. There's, I think I have. So as you go back and you go around the building, because the asphalt surrounds the building.
Yeah.
There is a, I don't know what the tree is, but in the corner, let's call it the southeast corner of the property, mm-hmm. kind of on the bank right below the storage units there, there's some sort of 15-foot-tall, 15-foot-wide, non-fruit-bearing. It would look like a fruit tree. It's the same age as 15 years old. It's, you know, 10% of the size of the redwoods. And then in the back, there's some sort of a spruce. And then in the corner, which would be the northeast corner, there's another coniferous tree. So, and then there's some sort of weed tree down in that southeast corner.
It's too bad. It's such a heat island back there. Nice to have some sort of shade going on, but
they heat the pot. They're growing in there. Their heater's going more often than their air conditioner. They don't care about the heat. I don't think any of the neighbors complained. I talked to them, and they're like, "Bill, look at our landscaping."
I thought about that.
You go do what you want to do.
I thought about the two spots where the trees are growing on that side, and it's going to do you no benefit.
Yeah.
You're just going to have a visual thing. You're not going to have any cooling effect from the shade or.
Right.
And if there's a cooling effect, they're counteracting it with their indoor grow by heating it up so they can get their plants at the temperature they want.
It's tough because this, I mean, strictly on paper and on pictures, you see semi-mature trees next to buildings and concrete, and I know exactly what redwood ash do. Problematic. But yeah, 17 years, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's quick.
You got any opinions, Russell?
I like the idea of not doing anything with them right now. Making a decision later.
Okay. What do you guys feel about approving the removal of the one that's close to the curb in the planter strip, close to the street, and holding off on the removal of the other two trees and last in the next 18 months or whatever the time period?
This is the one that's
that
listing.
It's not ADA.
The one on the street side is not the one that's doing the lifting. It's this, it's this one that's doing the lifting.
So you're thinking that one's not doing anything, just let it be?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to remove one tree, then at least remove the one that's doing some lifting. But, and if that's the one, it's not the one that's on the
street. The one that's most furthest east, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Do we get a nice replant somewhere else?
Sure, I'll put a little Japanese maple right where that tree would actually. So.
I don't think it'll survive there.
That'll dry up.
Yeah. Nice slow death.
But I'm just saying that if we were to go, and before you take these three trees out, we go do three really nice valley oaks or something. Church, school, park, whatever, anywhere you guys want, get a big tree going that's going to be there long after your grandkids are pushing up daisies, better than the redwood ashes. I'm appealing to your good nature.
That said, you're not going to be able to allow the removal of all three of these without something being mitigated on site to be consistent with the landscaping requirements that were associated with the 2003 landscape.
Can we not mitigate off-site?
If there was, okay, so we can't allow the entire development to fall totally out of compliance from the landscaping standards. Now, there are provisions for off-site mitigation, but what I'm just cautioning you is it would be pretty inappropriate to allow the removal of all three and not have any mitigation on-site because it would be taking us so far out of compliance with the landscaping standards.
Then can we get a recommendation for on-site planting in that, and appropriate planting in that spot?
I'd say arbutus, like the strawberry trees, those are really cool, I think.
Yeah.
That was my original thought, is that we would take out the three and that I would replace them with two. From the sizing and the other vegetation. And I can't do it, as you go in the driveway, the driveway is deceiving because the storage yard is there. And that driveway is really twice as wide as it appears. So where you see that stack block wall and the landscaping that I put there that wasn't required, that really is going to be a driveway access to future buildings that is now that vacant land where the storage units are. So I can't plant... It would be silly to plant something on that side. Miles isn't going to be around forever. No.
What could we put in between the curb and the sidewalk there? What would be an appropriate planting for there?
Yeah, a small stature tree that takes full sun and heat island.
Got one? I'd love it. I'll buy a million of them. Big tooth or a paper bar. Grisium. It would take it.
It would be cool.
It would be cool. And it wouldn't jack it down the road. And I do have a home for the other two removals. That's city-owned property.
What are the standards we're looking at again, Aaron? I mean, could we swap two for one and plant a big one somewhere else? Or
so the standard that should have been applied in 2003 when this went through site design review was a canopy that would have covered 7% of the parking area. I mean, obviously the site plan as approved in 2003 was light on landscaping in terms of what the code requires. So I don't have a lot of direction for you in terms of other than that.
I get what you're saying, to be a bad precedent is to, yeah, wipe it down. Sure, we're open to ideas.
Right, I might as well talk. What if we did a Grisium in that?
Yeah.
By the curb?
Yeah, and in between the two other Raywoods on that side. There's the one by the pad mount transformer, there's the one that's 8 inches away from the sidewalk. If we did another tree there and, like, keep our fingers crossed, and then one tree offsite. And I have a spot for the tree offsite. That's city owned.
That's the tree you're buying?
I'll buy it. We'll go have someone. I'll rotate a million for it. No, I'll buy the tree. Whatever.
I'm teasing.
Yeah. But I mean, we don't want to lose canopy. We want, you know, we want everything to be a big green world. In 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, is he going to cut all those trees down and just say, "I'm done with it"? Right? He's going to do his sidewalk and walk away, and it's just going to be a hellhole in there. I park my truck right next door. I'd like a tree there. So, but I think if he has the opportunity to do a kind of a sacrificial tree in that park row, a tree on the, it would be east side of the sidewalk.
We have two small stature trees and one large one off-site.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got a great spot for it.
I would make a motion to that fact. We approve the removal, mitigating with two smaller stature removal trees on site and a large one off site.
And then what do we put in that park road, though? I have to be in agreement on this. What goes in that strip where the Raywood ash is in between the curb and the sidewalk?
I was thinking Grisium, but still hits off the
any
side.
Other
can you plant them both off out of the strip, leave the strip in shrubs, because that's always an issue.
I think if you put a Grisium there.
I like that idea. Shrubs or flowers.
Yeah,
that makes sense. It's so narrow, and then put two trees on the other side. Because instead of being 8 inches from the sidewalk, from their building, which is 7 years old, and my sidewalk is probably 18 feet.
Yeah.
So there is a chain link fence there, but I could push the tree back toward the chain link fence. They're never going to do anything. They won't care if the roots go over on that side. It's not going to lift the concrete slab building the way it's lifting my little 4-inch.
All right, I got a motion on the table.
Can you restate the motion? Are you going to? Is there specific? Well, I guess I'll find out.
Well, I need to do a friendly amendment.
Yeah,
muscle memory. He's been a commissioner a lot longer than I was, so I'm used to listening around the table. But the motion is move to approve that the removal be mitigated for the two suitable stature trees, such as the Acer Grisium on site, and one large heritage type tree off site, city property or wherever, somewhere in the community.
I second that motion.
Okay. Those in favor. You don't have to.
I do. Russell's not going to vote for it.
No, we just keep talking.
I don't think I can keep talking about it.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted by it.
Sorry, was that four? Was that four in favor?
Yep.
You guys sure?
Russell and I were having a showdown there. Who's going to be the nay?
All right.
It's important to have that reflected in
there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, Eric did that too one time. He was with us because he thought he had to.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want it to be obstructive, but I wouldn't mind it being registered.
Okay.
Well, that's what you're sitting those reading with, man. Stick your hand. If you don't like what I say, stick your hand up.
You need to be the one dissenting vote.
That's why I'm here.
I need 2 minutes, guys.
Yeah.
Do you want me to take over?
Yeah, he's hitting the restroom real quick.
Yeah, I kind of got to use it too, so. Yeah.
There's two there. I don't mind using one with the skirt on it. You know why it's gender denominated. It's so ridiculous.
It's a cape.
Huh?
It's a cape.
It's a cape, yeah.
That's the longest we've been discussing a single application in the time that I've staffed this commission.
We got one more to go.
Yeah, but I was. This is the one that I knew was going to be the most contentious.
Well, you know, you've got three nice.
It seems so simple to me.
On oak.
Not when you sit here month after month seeing trees just.
Going down.
At some point, you just got to stand up and say enough.
Enough is enough.
Yeah. Every person that's sitting here is sitting here because they love trees, not because they like seeing them cut down.
Exactly.
And you'll dig. You'll really like what's going to happen. Yeah.
Oh, we got another case coming up. Alright, number two.
Something to that effect. Apparently, he went for a flight.
Okay.
What do we get?
All right. Siskiyou Boulevard.
Okay, moving on.
Thank you.
Order.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Follow our planning action, PA Tree 2020-00094. This is 1825 Siskiyou Boulevard. Gene Mickelson and James Douglas. Applicant is Casey Rowland. This is a request to remove one hazard tree, which is identified as a white oak. The applicant submitted a brief narrative by Casey Rowland Tree Care. Anything else?
Yeah, so when Casey first came in to see me about this tree, it was one of those ones where we were originally talking about it in the context of an emergency. He basically said it's, you know, such a rotted out tree that he was worried about even doing a pull test on it. It took a couple of days to get the application materials in, and by the time they did come in, we had discussed it and said we would take care of it through the hazard provisions rather than, because clearly it wasn't emergent. And it's always a tricky one with, is it emergent and do we go ahead and say, yeah, take it out, but having looked at it on site and based on its location and the type of property and the amount of traffic, we decided to let it go. I don't know how many of you took a visit to it. There's a giant hole in it and there's not a lot of meat that's holding the rest of the tree up above it. It legitimately is a hazard tree, and I'd turn it over to Casey for anything else he has to add.
So imminent would be the word, and I never pull tested it. So I was going to pull test it. First, the client contacted me and said, hey, could you do just walk around the property, blah, blah, blah. So I did other work there, and she said, what about the white oak there? So I looked at it, and it's buried. So I said I should do a root canal excavation on it, and that's not. That occurred. A couple $100 to do it. And I said, before I do that, let me make sure that the top is good. Why would you put a foundation under something that the roof is rotten on, or why would you put a roof on something the foundation is rotten on? The next thing I want to do is pull test it. So I walked up to it and I slapped it, and I don't know if you did, but from this angle and about this off the ground, you slap it, it's not good. Anyway, I got on an orchard ladder, leaning up against, walked up inside, took a probe, shoved it through, and I've got about yay me on the far side. So I probe, I stop, I pull probe out, I look, I measure, and I've got 3/4 inch at the most of me on the back side. This side is completely open. The tree is kind of like, so pulled this side, here's the target, gunned this way. I did not pull test it. I would not pull test it. I'm going to take the tree down. When I do take the tree down, I'm going to guy it down to take it down. It's that sketch. No jerking, no sudden movements. So Jen Mickelson, who owns the property, if it was her property or if it was my property, probably wouldn't take the tree down. But we don't have target, opportunity, and likelihood. So the target is anybody, renters going in and out of that place, right on that common walkway. Opportunity would be, how often are they there? All day, every day. Likelihood, more likely than not. I don't want to take that tree down. Big, beautiful, I mean, kind of, mistletoe infected, whatever. But so the tree next to it, the big white oak that guns out of the roof, I don't know if you saw some of the, we did like a tip pruning just to keep the mom. Just one of those limbs was 230 years old. That big around, 80
wow.
feet off the ground. Ancient. So I'm sure that that tree that's hollow was here way before anybody was here. Not in a big hurry to take it down. But we'd be more than willing to, and she is more than willing to, do a really nice, goes back to the project he's going to work on, a really nice oak tree somewhere. So, again, the reason why we're taking it down is target, opportunity, likelihood. The target is the renters, which is anybody that goes in and out that driveway. If I took one picture, there's actually a person walking underneath it. Opportunity is whenever they're under it. And likelihood is more likely than not. It's closer to failing than not failing. I will climb it to take it down. I'm just going to be real gentle when I do it. And then I don't know if did anybody go up and actually probe or get in there and stick your hand in there and you know,
smell test?
You might want to do that before you make your decision. It wouldn't be a bad idea to go up and go inside that and go, I'm like, oh, don't park under it, don't, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty sketch, yeah. I mean, I won't send a climber up it. I'm going to do it myself.
Mm.
Does that site visits on this one?
Yeah, I checked it out. Yeah. Did you check it out?
I did not.
Yeah. Kat's got some really
I took some good photos. Yeah, the tree's more hollow than not, and wow. Even the branches that, I mean, there are some branches that don't have mistletoe, but even some of the more healthy looking branches had some really weird lumps, and it did not look like a healthy tree at all.
Some mistletoe, past mistletoe, and current mistletoe, and I think it had either got topped or lost a limb in the past, which probably started the rotting. And so,
suggestions?
I wouldn't call it an emergency removal, but it's definitely a hazard removal, I'd say.
Yeah.
So that kind of
I would agree.
What about wildlife, Casey?
About
you think there might be anything in there?
Good point.
Just talking about that.
There, in the black oak on the, as you come in driveway left, there was a couple of acorn peckers that were just starting to produce a granary. I didn't see any cavity nesters in the one I was in. But I'm totally willing to go back and look. There was a mountain raccoon excrement.
Yeah. Inside it.
If I could touch on that real quick, what would you do? I mean, a couple of times run into raccoons and take a lunch break or something. They usually run off. But do you call critter catcher? Do you put some, falconry gloves on?
In the tree?
Yeah.
Well, I had a pet raccoon named Cookie one time for a long time since she was a kid till she. Raccoons are nocturnal.
So it was just sleeping.
they will not come down out of that tree in the daytime, especially if you're up there gawking at them. Is this off the record or on the record?
Everything's recorded.
Okay. So let's just say you have a raccoon in a tree, and you're going to take the tree down, for argument's sake. You split. At 2 in the morning, a raccoon comes down, raids garbage cans, dumpsters, does whatever he does. You put a piece of steel around the tree, you can't get up the next day, you go and pick the tree the next day. He's not coming down. There's no way you're not going to scare him down, you're not going to pull him down. If
they
you go up there, he's
going to
light you up. No, not a happy camper. They don't like being woken up at any time, and they're certainly not coming down with everybody going,
I had one in a Leland Cypress one time. Doing a big
leave him alone until the next day. But what you can do is you can ban the tree if you do it right. Oh, sorry, I'm getting older. If you can ban it, like from steal from here to here, he'll come down to here about 9 o'clock at night, look around, wait around, and he'll bail, and then he can't get back up. He's going to go mob stuff. He wants to go back up there, but he can't because he's.
All right, sorry to digress.
Anyway, go ahead.
It's a good question.
Next one.
I make a motion to approve the application as submitted with a recommendation for a medium stature at maturity mitigation tree on site.
Second.
All those in favor? Motion carried.
What do you want to do there in that spot?
Of the owner's choice.
We could do another. I don't mind the same tree. We could do a big tree there. They got room for it. And she's totally open to it. She doesn't want to lose that tree. Mm-hmm. So, can you...
the suggestion of the arborist, but yeah, I mean, the motion there and it's kind of
let's do a let's do a big oak there. It would be awesome. Yeah.
I mean, I would consider a white oak a medium stature.
Something native.
400 years of
La
Bava.
There you go. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Amy, are you 1320 Oregon?
I am.
She is.
Wow. It's all good?
Busy.
I'm double dipping over here.
Thank you, guys.
Always good to see you, patient.
Yeah,
for coming in. So, we have call order planning action, T1 2019-00083. This is 1320 Oregon Street.
This is the supplemental materials that I gave you when the meeting began. So,
okay. Do you want me to read the ditty?
Or I can just go ahead and present it generally.
That would be
great. So this is a type 1 planning action for P&E to allow the development of a single family home. What is before you for your consideration is an evaluation of their request to remove a single tree and your input on their tree protection plan. Of note, towards the northern end of the lot, you will notice that there are trees on both the east and west side of the property that are close to the property line, and the tree protection plan as presented is essentially chain link fence at the property line. And then once you get to the south side of the project, there's a large selection of trees that are all being protected, and we don't have any detail, we do have detail of that fence line shown there at the back, which obviously would need to come down before they finish the patio in the back. And I would turn this over to Amy to present the rest of the case to the tree commission.
Wait, but didn't we already do this one?
Nope.
Like 2 months ago?
You think about the one that's just above the Sierra Park?
Think about the long,
skinny
one. No,
this is above SAU. And our only concern was about the neighboring tree, number 12. I'm pretty sure
we did look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Did
this really the December before? Meeting where I wasn't.
I remember a long,
it just
thin lot.
Yeah, so if it did...
I think we did this. Because there was two really tiny trees along the street, and they were asking for to not have to do a sidewalk because that would make... Yeah, so it's like a big retaining wall.
So it's this long, narrow, kind of bizarre lot, right?
It's a super bizarre lot. It's actually remnant public right-of-way from a dead-end street. It could have been something that I think these people have been working on this for a long time, like when Fotini was at the city. I just made the application, so I don't know if someone else even made an application on the property prior. But it's been really interesting trying to fit a house onto this really old non-conforming lot. Oregon has some property protection rights. If you can prove that your lot existed prior to like 1970s, regardless of what it is, there's one on Harrison Street that's 236 square feet. It's a legal lot of records. You can build a house on it. So we had to get creative. Essentially, we split the difference on the side yard setbacks, did 3-foot side yard. They came up with a new house design to bury it into the hill, 700-and-something square foot footprint. It's going to go sort of straight up, but it's really tiny. So it's like a microcosm of a house. That's going to be kind of almost like a tower in the end because you can't cut into the hill too much like the hillside ordinance requires. They couldn't push it back too far because we started to run out of room for firefighting paths to get around the structure, getting a lawnmower past the house, all these things that you need to consider when you're building on a lot. So there are trees. They're pretty scraggly up there in that neighborhood. None on these lots are some of the really nice pine trees. And as everybody's been noting, there has been so many pine trees and cedar trees dying in town, just rapid wholesale. I'm going to be coming before you guys in a couple of weeks with the one in the mountain pine subdivision. There's not going to be many pines in the mountain pine subdivision when all is said and done because of bark beetles coming through their pine borders. But so we're trying to stay away from the steep part of the lots, stay away from those trees, even though they're on the neighbor's lots and they're kind of scraggly, they're the neighbor's trees. So the plan was to do some hand excavation. There's lots of tree protection notes, tree removal notes on the plan. it was designed by Piper and the crew at Terrain. So they'll hand excavate as much as they can in the root zones for the trees 15, 13, and 12. And then in the back, when they get to doing those walls, they'll have to move that fence back. But they didn't, because of how the walls are, they don't have to over-excavate substantially. They're most likely going to be walls that are L's instead of walls that have a spread footing because they can't cross the property line. So excavation and site work is going to be really constrained on the property as well. So that will help the trees because they're forced to be in a small area. That's all I got.
Were the metal tags that were on the tree relevant?
Those correspond to the...
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Tree that has a little silver marker is on the list.
So tree 5 and 4... Or wait, 5 and...
11?
5 and...
Number 5 is way at the top of the hill.
Yeah. What's the number of the larger one towards the street?
The pine down there.
15, 13, or 14?
Right on the line, I can't
think. Well, on the west side, there's 13, 15, and 14. On the east side is 12. Is that what you're referring to?
There's another one marked for removal.
I see two.
So 1 and 5, those are being removed. Everything mm-hmm. else is being left.
Mm-hmm.
8-inch diameter and 7-inch diameter. Really? The Don Red was back there, huh?
It's dead.
Yeah.
But if I remember correctly, our concern was with the neighboring property.
Yeah, number 12, if, that tree.
Any roots damaged during grading or construction shall be exposed to sound tissue and cut cleanly at a 90-degree angle to the root with a saw. Place damp soil around all cut roots to a depth equaling the existing finished grade within 4 hours of cuts being made. So I remember that literature. I'm not trying to go on that we've already gone over this, but I think we have.
And Asa, you may be right, and it may have been for a different planning action. I'm more than happy to go through the agendas and figure out why. Offhand, I feel that you might be right about that, but I can't think of the reason of why it would have. Because again, this was only just recently deemed complete. I'll get back to you with that answer.
Yeah, but either way, it's on the agenda for tonight.
Mm-hmm. I think the other plan before you that you would have seen last time for that number 12, there were retaining walls that went all the way to the sides of the property, and they actually had doors out both the sides. So there were steps and retaining walls, and the grade was fully manipulated, so tree number 12 definitely would have died in that case. This plan, we got rid of the retaining walls. Yeah, we got rid of all the retaining walls that sort of went beyond the driveway, and we're catching grade now. So you can see the wall that cuts over right in front of the tree we're proposing to remove. Then behind that, there was a retaining wall. Now that's going to be maintained at native grade. They do have to dig out a window well, but they'll dig that out in construction, and so they're trying to maintain as much native grade there behind the basement walls, where before those that tree totally wouldn't have survived that construction, because the retaining wall would have cut, and then they would have cut the basement wall directly adjacent to it.
So is there any other changes, like, to the...
So, on the west side, what changed is that before, let me see, it was actually, there was a step up closer to the trees, so closer to the front corner of the house. It stepped up and then it stepped back down.
Right.
So that it was like a flat patio out the back, and the entire back was one, like, flat area. What we did was we created the step up, and then that will now just have like a 3-foot wall that will eventually drop into the grade and create these little back patio areas, which are essentially steps so that they can get around to the back patio from the west side.
So overall, there's like a net reduction in excavation.
Yeah, I want to say, I don't remember off the top of my head about the cut and fill reduction, but it was pretty substantial. It was many, I want to say hundreds of cubic yards that we reduced in cutting.
Well, just within tree number 12 on the east side, if we're not having a wall there right on the property line, that's obviously a gain. So, I'm ready to make a motion.
Yeah, when you give these plans to, you know, I love landscape architects, but they like walls a lot. You get these plans and it's like, wow, there's a lot of walls there. And so I start to peel walls off, and then we come back with these things. I like walls, but it's not my money, so.
So you ready, Asa? Anybody else? Discussion.
Yeah, I'm really happy that they're only proposing to remove two trees. Yeah.
One
that's pretty rare. And
one's dead, the little.
Yeah,
and I have to give an eviction notice to the deer family that was there today.
They, you know,
there was three of them day sleeping.
Yeah. Where aren't there deer?
I recommend approval of the application as submitted. Wait, do we need to do any mitigation for this type of
What did I say? I think I said we can't because of the wildfire. Oh, no, but we do have mitigation. We have small, we can't put in pines, but we do on our landscape plan have, I believe, some...
Vitamin of scarlet oak post.
Yeah. So we have small trees, but we do have two new deciduous trees.
Vine maple? Cool. All right, I make a motion to approve the application as submitted. Recommend that the... project manager or construction crew pay close attention to the tree protection and removal notes, specifically regarding the neighboring trees, and recommend that they also implement supplemental irrigation for any trees that are stressed from the construction. Particularly the neighboring trees. Number 12.
Does this create any conflict in terms of the structure of being too close to all these conifers in terms of new construction and fire ordinance?
We have an expert.
We do. Are any of the trees within 30 feet of the property?
Yeah, so...
I think you could avoid it.
Let's put that motion on hold, or let's scratch that motion for now. Mm-hmm. Last month, it was brought up at the Tolman Creek property.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, about the
that you guys requested to do the vertical limbing up and the 10 feet of clearance from the roof.
Mm-hmm. After the
roof after the construction. As mm-hmm. opposed to before, mm-hmm. that way you know where the roof is and you can prune the minimal amount.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that's a great idea to do on this project.
Well, and that's tough because it's a neighbor's tree, right?
So we do have a really large pine behind the house. I don't have a scale on me. Sam did. I mean, he'd be at the wildfire plan in here. That's the benefit of having
a landscape person.
And he did do...
That should not be included.
Yeah, it's sort of like...
You guys might have to have another look for it. So what Sam calls out in here... it's sheet
L5. Yeah, L5, yeah.
What does he say? So he talks about prohibited flammable plants be pruned to maintain a 10-foot clearance at the proposed structure. So that's the ones on the property. And he's got notations on the ones like this one overhanging the property. That's a pruner. This is a pruner. Prune this side. So he's factored those sorts of things in. Mm-hmm. I think what's most challenging, this lot, it makes a lot of sense for wildfire. I have more of a challenge on the lots where there's nothing on them. Like, how do I show this wildfire plan?
Yep.
When there's nothing on, I guess the code says I have to do a plan, and
this
my clients are like, what the heck are you trying to plan
risk,
for?
Because you know, it's on the forest boundary.
Yeah, and this law makes a total sense to have the wildfire plan. So we've got it, mm-hmm. and there will be pruning. I think that this one, because of how dense the canopy coverage is in that neighborhood, there are tall grasses. It's one where they need to do fuel reduction before mm-hmm. they bring materials onto the site.
Yeah. I would say the one, looking at the pines being labeled, but I'm not an expert at looking at these, but the pine near the vehicle area, that X, I'm assuming, means that tree is set to be removed.
Yeah.
Okay, so the ordinance pertains to flammable trees, a.k.a. conifers, and so with those, with that one being the only one labeled as a pine within 30 feet, with the exception of possibly... tree number 9, eyeballing it is probably within 30 feet, but that's just another of the structure. That's just another one that once the building is put in place, limiting those branches to be 10 feet away from the roof line is going to be needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in regards to last month's conversation, that's sort of what triggered me to come here. Like, there are, like, just reach out to the fire department.
Right.
We're happy to, like, go look and be like, yeah, wait until you've built the building and worry about limbing that afterwards.
Okay.
Just having those conversations, and this one right now is because it's a new ordinance, we're sort of like wedging in the door. So,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Yep.
No, excellent. I'll send you some emails about the other ones.
Totally.
If you guys have finished your recommendation, I have some suggestions about the things Risa brought up.
I would like to make a motion to approve the application as submitted with a recommendation that attention be placed and followed on the tree protection and removal notes and regarding the neighboring trees, any trees part of the tree protection that they get supplemented irrigation if possible. At the first sign of decline during and after construction. And recommend that any pruning of the trees to meet the fire ordinance to allow them to do it after construction if they would like to do that versus before. But if it needs to be done before, then, yeah.
I think they've got other, there's like a lot of, like deer brush, buck brush, and, you know, things like that that need to come out.
So that's a motion.
That is a motion.
I'll second that.
All in favor? Thanks, Amy. What are your thoughts on?
So my suggestion, you know, with this PME, one thing that has to happen is they have to do a like a project site visit with the planner, and usually on site is like the excavator, the contractor, the property owner, any subs that are doing digging. And now with the Public Works and the RVSS standards, they talk about having project site meetings for certain size projects. So we do them for P&E, but that doesn't get done for like your typical site review or things. And you're supposed to inspect the tree protection fencing, but it's not something that there's like a meeting about it.
Right.
You know, and so maybe if there was more of like an on-site meeting at time of issuance of building permit when there's trees of stature on property, because you guys know, and this brings me to another thing that Micah talked about last month, but sometimes people are saving trees just because they want to try to save them, and it comes back to bite them. We're running into this on some properties on Scenic, where it's like, I know you want to save the tree, but if you save the tree, getting it removed later is going to be very difficult. Or if you don't, you know, damage it during construction, suddenly you're now stopping construction for this process to play out. So people are sometimes preemptively removing trees because there's not that, like, safety zone in the code that gives people the ability to say, I want to save this tree, but not have it be saved in perpetuity or be penalized in the event that I have to remove it during construction. Because once you propose preservation of a tree, in theory, it's preserved until either you die or the tree dies. And so, you know, it creates a situation where people have to really seriously consider maybe they're removing a tree preemptively because they can't challenge having a situation where it's too close to construction or what have you. The one I'm talking about in particular, you'll see in action, so we can all claim it as ex parte, but it's right at the top of Ulta and Scenic. There's a dirt alley that goes up the hill. It's right across from the modern house that has the accessory unit being built on top. Mm-hmm. There's some really huge cedars in the front, but there's a massive black walnut that has the Ulta and the alley surface piled on top of it, and then like 4 feet below grade is the root collar. So the tree is just fighting for its life, and the people really, really want to save it. It's in the public right-of-way, and I'm like, I don't know, save that, because you're either going to have to put a whole bunch of dirt on it, or you're going to destroy it, or, you know, there's so many things that could happen in that situation. So they want to save it, and I'm going, I don't think we should propose that, because what happens when we encounter, you know, a root like this, slice it, and then it dies, and then it stops. And so pre-construction meetings, and then a pad, someplace where people can, like, propose preservation of trees, but not be partially penalized.
So you're saying propose the preservation, and if it doesn't work out, you know,
yeah,
it's kind of,
yeah,
ambiguous.
Yeah, and that's what's difficult, is ambiguity is found in land use ordinance, which is why it drives a lot of people crazy. But there's also a lot of non-ambiguity in it. And that creates situations like this where, you know, people get pigeonholed. So those are just some of the things, you know, Micah was like, oh, I wanted to save the tree, and now here I am. Stop and work and waiting and all these things.
That comes up in conversation around here at the time when we make a motion, and we get that sense, or people
right.
are requesting that, and we can put some language in the recommendation
right.
as well.
I try to make it really, really super clear in my findings
yeah.
and essentially request removal and then say we're going to save it. But that's, you know, that's like the lawyer way of doing things, where you're like talking backwards about what you really want to get to in the end. So just some thoughts. It's really difficult though, because we have a situation of a town that didn't have a lot of trees. People planted a lot of trees over the past 150 years. Now those trees are heritage trees, and our climate is maybe shifting back to what it was like when Ashland had barren hills before all these trees came in, and people were burning in the area and all these things, and it it's created conflicts because we've got no place to grow out to. We're only growing in, and we've got these massive trees that are right next to people's houses and soon to be houses. So
that's why we're here.
I don't have your position. But it was nice. All these people
trying to find a middle ground.
What a big job you did. When does that happen?
I was going to say.
That was awesome. Yeah. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, on that, you know, on that note about talking about that, you know, I mean, it's also sort of, okay, we want to protect these trees, but if they die, not get penalized. But a lot of times where we get applications for people already wanting to remove, like, 50% of the trees or 80% of the trees or whatever on a huge development.
Right.
And so if they say, you know, we would like to preserve these, but if they die, we don't want to be penalized for it. It's like, well, the tree protection is so those trees get protected as best as possible. Period. So I think it is good for people not to be penalized, but I think it's also important that they take it serious.
Yeah, absolutely.
And make an effort.
Yeah. Because otherwise, what are we doing here? You know, if we make a recommendation to protect trees or approve an application that they would like to protect trees and nothing's done, then what are we doing here? You know?
Well, maybe the standard of it being the drip line isn't the best standard. You know it's not the best standard. I mean, we all know it's not the best standard. It was sort of the how do we make all these things work together.
Yeah.
Then maybe for some trees it does get extended to the true critical root zone.
Yeah.
And that's the lens that we look at things through more, so that we're pushing development away and we're not just looking at the branch of the tree as being the tree protection zone. Because you know then to feed into that is really where things are happening. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's, you guys should all go increase the size of tree protection zones.
A lot of these projects become undoable,
right?
If we increase the tree protection zones. Some of these lots are so tiny that, and then we'd be saying to people, you can't develop this lot that's technically R2 or R3.
Yeah, or like
and,
this.
And,
one.
You know, we're not in the position to really say that. So it's about trying to find some middle ground and crossing our fingers and hoping that the trees survive the tiny amount of space that we give them.
I was going to top watching those big trees on B Street guy, the cedar and, well, the raccoon tree.
I was watching the decline. I was like, ah, that construction, what, 3 years ago?
But I remember Casey's on the board when we reviewed all that. City water.
I took some photos of the logs after they've been cut down, and oh man, oh, looks so much bigger once it was on the ground.
No,
I don't know what he did with it.
It's just sitting there.
Wow.
Corner of B and Oak.
Okay, thank you all.
Okay,
have a good night.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
All right, planning action 3-2020-0092. This is at 310 Granite.
You too.
The city of Ashland and the Ashland Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
You guys know that.
Oh, yeah.
For years.
Yes, please take that tree out.
What? So is that a motion?
That's a motion. I motion to approve.
Wait, can we have a little discussion first? Because right now that tree's shading the street. I mean, you know, if there's nothing there, I mean, the tree should get come out. But right now it is, I don't think it's a hazard. But.
What did you do?
But it will be a hazard. Slightly. Pretty soon. You know, the branches coming down and several stuff. What would I do? I'm not quite sure, but right now it is providing shade, even though it's pretty much doomed.
It's a visual hazard.
So
there.
And then the other thing. So why does Parks have to ask? Because normally Parks is.
This is what I wanted to speak to.
Okay.
So I actually made this case because if you look at GIS and you look at where the property lines are drawn, you can make the case that that tree maybe isn't a street tree, and maybe it actually is in Lithia Park proper, in which case Parks can do what they want. However, the sidewalk, the tree is between the sidewalk and the curb.
Yeah.
And because there's a certain amount of uncertainty of where the actual property line falls, the decision was, look, there's nothing emergent about this. Let's go ahead and treat it as a street tree because it falls between the sidewalk and the curb, and that's why we're here. And since Peter's here, I'd ask him to be able to present to you why they're asking to remove it.
You're up.
So, yeah, as you mentioned, it's been declining now for several years, and it's just a matter of when I think we're going to do it. Like you say, it does still have some nice limbs over the street, and it does provide some shade. So if you'd really like to see it stay another year or two, we're okay with that. But we're planning to do some replanting this year and stump grinding. So we thought, well, maybe we'll include this one with it. And
is there a drainage problem in the area? When I looked at it, there weren't any cars parked along there, and the asphalt seems to be all wrinkled up. And
a week or two ago, there was a big mainline irrigation break right.
Is that
right
that
above
big hole
there,
that whole
area got flooded.
Oh, okay.
So that might have been what you were
what
seeing
I
there.
Saw,
that's
yeah.
That's not a normal thing.
Okay.
It is, though. That being said, a street tree, or like a street tree, which is always sort of a tough situation. There's a lot of foot traffic there. It's actually got better soil volume than some street
trees.
But
I thought maybe it was a swampy situation.
Killed it. Those get verticillium? And the other arborists?
The maples I believe that that's another thing. We haven't tested for that.
Yeah.
So if that's what it has, and you planted another maple, you don't have a problem. So
right.
That's a good point, too.
Spreading to the...
Yeah, there's something...
So,
does that travel through the roots?
I think it does, yeah. It's in the roots and then the soil. Kind of a difficult problem.
Because I was thinking near the lower duck pond on the east side, kind of like where no one goes, there's a really cool maple. It almost doesn't even look like a maple, but if you look at the leaf, it's got tiny little lobes right at the end. And I think, and the bark is like, almost like a rainbow.
Oh, like that stripe.
Super thing. Psychedelic, yeah.
Yeah.
And Mike Oxenine said it's a rattlesnake maple or something like that. Something. Tiger skin, lizard skin, some kind
snake
of...
Snake bark.
Yeah. Looks really cool. Yeah. I think that would be super neat to have one of those there. But I don't know if they go for full sun. Because that other one is in a pretty shaded zone.
Yeah,
but
it's
if
a
you're
possibility
saying
to put another type of maple there. Or
you guys have other thoughts on what to plant there?
This is the Green Mountain sugar maple, so we were thinking we'd put another one of those in. But
it's a beautiful grove in the fall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really just, they glow up like a
nice
gorgeous
color.
Yeah.
And another one you can see has been replaced within the last several years. So no.
Yeah, I mean, you might rethink that if it's
the
maple issue.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'll bring that up. Maybe we'll try to.
I don't know how you test for that. I mean, take a soil sample in.
Yeah, we tested the Port Orford cedar up there for
by top of the run.
And came up negative. But
really, this one that's declining?
Yeah, the one that's declining up by the.
What's by top of the?
Where is it?
Root rot that's killing all the...
Oh,
Port
just
cedar, Port Orford.
Kind of above the Rose Garden, between there and the Perazzi Fountain, right near the Winburn Way. It's a big Port
Orford. Is that one of the ones you use for the tree climbing competition?
No. That one's really... It's got a lot of dead wood. The top's dead.
Okay.
And
there's been a number of Port Orford cedars dying in the park over the last 5-10 years.
So, yeah, just because it isn't Phytophthora, it doesn't mean we know what it is. So that's
I just assumed. But.
Well, I don't think lithia bark struggles from drought issues, but in another example, like, let's say, a maple tree had severe drought and it had root die back, I can see the top dying as well from that. So, but maybe this time back in fungus is not drought. I like it when there's a diversity of street trees, and not it's just not all the same thing. But that's just kind of my opinion.
Yeah,
I
more would, sustainable
towards,
too. If you
I would
do have
lean towards letting you guys do what you know what you want. So,
but yeah, we're open to putting something different in there. So, I'll if you okay, it's removal. I'll.
Yeah, do we have to do a? Do we have to motion on this and this stuff? Any more discussion? Or?
No.
I make a motion that we approve the application as submitted, and with the recommendation that Parks plant what they feel is an appropriate replacement tree.
I'll second. All those in favor? Motion carries.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, try to follow up on some of the things you've mentioned here.
All right. Unless we have planning action tree 2020-00095, 2 Mountain Meadows Drive. Owner is Lewis Living Trust et al. The applicant is Mountain Meadows HOA. Request to remove 8-inch diameter, 28-foot tall cherry plum tree. The tree is prohibited by the adopted street tree guide and creates a slipping hazard from excess fruit that falls on the sidewalk.
Just eat it.
Any site visits, absentations?
I was on my way there, and then there was a guy broken down, and so I gave him a jump start, and then I ran out of time.
Well, you're still being of service.
Yeah.
I had a look, and I took a photo. If you anyway you want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. These guys have a lot of these up there, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the neighborhood has complained about their plum trees in the past, right?
Are we replanting?
Yes.
I mean, there's plum trees all over the whole town. If we remove every single one on the basis that it's not recommended as a street
this
tree.
One.
Good.
They were saying that, what was it? What did it say on the application about?
I mean, even crab apples drop crab apples.
Ironically, these are all sold as being fruitless, right?
Yeah.
They all revert to it.
Like if somebody takes over.
You know, one thing that was left out of the blurb, unfortunately, that was on the application is that the tree has a significant lean and, quote, can be moved in the ground by hand.
So just not really for what that's worth. Like it's pushed over a bound or something?
They're required to mitigate, yes?
Yes.
Check. Oh,
that's
kind of a nice
plum. Yeah, it was. Perfectly pleasant plum.
Looks like it's maybe been hurt or something. Tunnel full of suckers.
Yeah, I mean, Southern Tree Care is in there every month, I think.
I didn't see a lot of heavy staining on the sidewalk, too. I have to be honest, usually when there's a problem with slippage and fruit, you can kind of see where the sidewalk
stained
underneath is gets stained from the fruit. I don't know, maybe at this point in winter that would have washed away, but
depends on the year too.
Yeah, maybe clearing the snow. Maybe the snow like cleaned it as it got scraped away or something.
Were they proposing replanting, or are they saying we shouldn't have a tree there in the first place?
Nothing in the documentation.
They didn't say, but they'll be required to replace it.
Okay.
If it is moving at the ground though, like if you can wiggle it and see it rocking back and forth.
Did the arborist say
make
that?
Beautiful stone wall.
Yeah, I did like it.
The applicant was not an arborist. I don't believe they represented that one.
Backbreaker.
I just see Southern Iron Tree Care.
There's a big one there.
The professional.
It should stay
performing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, pardon me. But they didn't submit a separate report from them, is what I meant.
Yeah. Nice wall.
Thanks.
Are there any, I mean, I wonder, like, there's got to be other plums in that neighborhood.
There's got to be a bunch. I'm kind of curious if they've been replanting all the other ones we've approved to remove. Seems like we've seen this one a few times over here.
Yeah, there's that whole other what, Cherry or Plum Street or something to the west, that whole line of them.
It's tough because, again, they got like, what, 3 feet of space to plant a tree?
Yeah, it's not much.
Not much. I'm not a huge fan of these plums.
What do you think, Ross? Do you like plum trees?
In the proper place.
In the proper place. Right tree in the right place.
Exactly.
Perfectly pleasant plum in its proper place.
No, that's, I'm not good at that. Well, no, surprisingly, that looks pretty good for a plum tree.
That one looks like it's about as happy as a plum tree can be.
So you tree experts got a pass on its health.
I mean, are there any like Ginkgo bilobas, dropping fruit that can I'm saying, are there any examples in town of trees that we really, really like, but that someone can say, well, it's dropping fruit, it's a sleeping habit, and we need to remove
it? Yeah, that's the precedent we're
Well, then you plant the male version.
Yeah. But let's say a tree that we really don't want to remove and it still drops fruit.
And it's not a blank. This isn't too loyally. Like if we say it once, it's not codified, so we change our mind often for stuff like this, or on a case by case basis.
Well, yes, context.
Yeah, context. Thank you.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, if it is a slipping hazard, this is the neighborhood that you don't want slipping hazards in.
Yeah.
It's a retirement area where there's a lot of people trying to just make it around the block.
Yeah, that's my biggest question. They're obviously trying to phase them out, and I get that. I don't know that anybody ever follows up with, did they replant?
That was something I wanted to talk about, is follow up on replanting and tree protection zones, that kind of, and why, that cedar dying on Oak Street, it's like...
Well, that's as if they may...
Proactive... Yeah. Protection.
Yeah. Casey, but lead the charge of driving around. Those people have done a very poor job of keeping the tree protection zones. You get construction and equipment.
And
things get moved and bumped.
Yeah.
I agree. I think you guys have done a lot better with that. And as you establish those and hang the big sign, there was a lot of discussion on that in the past. But.
And do they go back and make sure they're not moving the fencing? And
they, you say they as if there's an army of planners other
well,
than
well, that's what I'm asking. I don't know. I mean, I don't think there is, because when I was doing my projects, we barely got seen once or twice. And
I mean,
so
why don't we get through this and get handling discussion items?
Yeah.
It's probably complaint basis. It's like someone says, hey, they're not doing this. You might want to go check this out.
Yeah.
On this one, I make a motion to approve, but that they mitigate suitable treat as soon as possible.
How about a nice paper buck maple?
Yeah, those are, yeah.
Something pretty.
Yeah. We're working with Willie, have some good ideas, but I would suggest that staff, with all their extra time, go and take a cruise around and make sure that prior trees are being mitigated for the replanting.
So there's a difficulty there, right? Because
I can make suggestions all day long.
When we approve a tree removal permit, it doesn't mean that someone's going to get the arborist out there the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, they have 18 months to do it.
Yeah.
And it creates a cumbersome burden to track that.
Yeah.
I don't want to go too much further down that rabbit hole. We try our very best.
Yeah.
But generally, in the time that I've been here, there is a trust system that the applicant is going to follow through with the mitigation after they do the removal. We simply don't have the resources to be making a site visit twice a week when there's construction ongoing. I mean, as I'm making my way around through town, I keep an eye on what's going on. So it's not like we go out and we hang the sign and we forget about it.
Yeah.
But there's also not a deliberate, okay, it's Tuesday, right. I'm going to go check, right. you know,
yeah. the
all of the properties yeah. that are under construction.
Yeah.
The other thing is that with, you know, trees that die post-development, that one's tricky. This has come up a couple of times. There was not just the one on... I'm sorry, you know, we have a motion on the table. Can we no. wrap
oh,
that
yeah,
one
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can you restate the motion?
Motion, make a motion to approve that tree be, the loss of the tree be mitigated for appropriate street tree.
Second.
Thank second you. On the table, all those in favor.
Is that 3-1?
Looks like we got 2-2.
3-1?
3-1.
Yeah.
It's got to be a majority. I mean, this isn't... I don't want to see this one again.
That fruit tree's in the wrong spot.
And you got
it wouldn't
shoot cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. He's making a statement.
My pathetic little...
I'm all for fruit trees, so
I
know. People complain about fruit trees. It's like... They're less grocery trees. Yeah.
Plant a fig. Eat big well, just fine.
Don't
when,
complain about your fruit
when someone gets a permit to cut down a tree, do they get a piece of paper... that they have at their house, like when I'm doing a building thing, I get that little yellow thing, I stick it out somewhere visible.
Mm-hmm.
So that just as me as a tree commissioner, I walk along the street and I'm like, I don't remember approving that street tree getting removed. Can you please show me your permit?
So
do they have a piece of paper?
Yes. Anything that's going through a type 1 procedure, after you guys have made your recommendation on it,
mm-hmm.
I have to draft findings
mm-hmm.
that make a statement about... what was being asked for, how it met the criteria,
mm-hmm.
what the conditions of approval are. That gets signed by Bill Molnar as staff advisor, mm-hmm. and then it gets sent out as a notice of decision, so they will have the notice of decision and the findings of fact.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't going to have anything that says permit per se,
okay.
but they're going to have a notice of decision and a finding of fact.
Okay.
For a street tree, they will have the printed form that bears the signature of the staff advisor.
Okay.
But again, you have to keep in mind all of the myriad opportunities that are exempt from tree removal.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because if someone right up here on Granite decided to cut down one of those beautiful redwood trees, they would be exempt and wouldn't even need a permit. So there's
yeah.
that as
yeah.
well. So does that answer your question?
Well, what my follow-up question to that is that, you know, once they've removed the tree, this is kind of addressing that 18-month window that they have to remove the tree, can they then, either the arborist or the owner, probably the applicant, says, okay, here's my, you know, invoice from my arborist. I've had the work done, and I've replanted the tree. Someone comes and checks it.
If they were to... follow up with us and say,
yeah.
hey, I've done that, would you? Absolutely. I'll come out and take a look. I'll mark it as complete. Otherwise,
but is that a requirement that they follow up?
I don't think so.
No.
And if that was a requirement, then maybe that would be something that, you know, if you don't have enough staff, we're driving around looking at trees that need to get cut down, why don't we, you know, we can add the, you know, these are the permits of the trees that got cut
mm-hmm.
down, and they say they've planted a new tree.
Mm-hmm.
Go and check it out and see what you think. I'm just saying, if we want to make sure that people are, you know, we're talking about having...
So are you proposing that the tree commission take that on as their duties?
I'm putting it up for discussion. I mean, I don't want to add more work, but it's, you know, it's... I can't imagine it's going to be too... weighty, and we're already familiar with the sites. I don't know. What do you guys think? If we really want to make sure people are mitigating, and we could go there and say, "Hey, you've got no irrigation here," or "Geez, you didn't put any mulch on this tree; it's going to die." I mean,
didn't take it out of the pot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it's so how would that work? I mean, it's all complaint driven, right? And are we okay to talk about this officially on the? Or I mean,
we're in the discussion item section of our agenda.
But I mean, like.
How would this work?
It's complaint-driven, right? So you, as a citizen
right.
or a tree commissioner, could go and observe this and call in here and say,
right.
this is going on. And do you have capacity to go and investigate it then, at that point?
Well, so...
So
the complaint would be that someone hasn't mitigated? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, well, I mean, it
I
covers everything. Or a construction yeah. site or anything, and that's just...
Well, so we have one code enforcement specialist. So I feel like we're hitting a couple of
different
things
yeah.
here. Yes, our code enforcement is primarily driven by complaint-based enforcement. If what you're proposing is that the tree commission were to take upon this following up on removals and mitigation, that's an interesting concept. I would certainly want to run that up the flagpole.
Yeah.
I don't think it would necessarily be appropriate to then address that applicant. It would probably be something that we need to be routed back to a staff member
right,
to then follow up.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it leaves for a long hang time because, you know, any one of these things that we just approved tonight could be languishing on a list for quite some time. And so it could become cumbersome. And right now there's not an active follow-up for that.
Yeah.
Now, as far as tree protection on ongoing development, yes, I do keep an eye about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a tricky thing with proposed development where it's like, yeah, here's the tree protection zone, and we're putting a chain link fence 2 feet away from the trunk. I don't know if you noticed tonight, but we approved that. And I have serious concerns about the trees that are on the western side of that property, right? So there's sort of a back and forth here and especially when you're talking about a tree on an adjacent property, right?
They've got a 3-foot setback. I can't even believe that the Planning Commission's going to...
It hasn't been approved yet.
Yeah, okay.
Now, granted, it's not even going to the Planning Commission because it's a type 1 procedure unless someone calls it up for a hearing. Because up to a 50% reduction in setbacks is only a type 1 variance. It requires a type 2 variance to go to the Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. So as currently presented, that application isn't going before the Planning Commission, not unless an aggrieved member of the public calls it to a hearing.
Aggrieved, like, is that kind
like
of a branch off of aggravated?
Yeah.
Aggrieved.
Yes.
Yes.
Someone who has a grievance.
Yeah.
Did I answer your questions?
Yeah, no, I just think, you know, if we're for mitigating and replanting, you know, like the one down on Apple Gateway, you know, it's like, you know, once that project's been completed, we had such an extensive discussion about, you know, what we think is a good plan going forward and what we think
mm-hmm.
is going to work. If we don't follow up, and everyone knows we don't follow up, what's...
Yeah.
Well, just like so many things that we do here, there is sort of the social compact,
totally.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are...
And 99% of people are going to do right by...
Well, we hope so, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people put up fences without knowing they need a fence permit.
Yeah.
Hey, most cities don't require fence permits.
I didn't know that.
People cut down trees without knowing they need a permit as well.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Yeah.
90% of this all works because people are making a good faith effort.
Yeah.
And so I try to move through the world believing that most people want to do right.
Yeah.
I
guess my faith has been eroded a little bit recently. I don't know why. Okay. We don't need to keep discussing it.
And I guess that's why I bring it back to the private citizen, you, and especially because you have... Line to Aaron,
yeah.
You know, you see something going on.
Oh, absolutely. No, I have.
Oh, yeah.
I have done that. Yeah, I've you know,
in
sometimes.
In an unofficial capacity,
yeah.
But sometimes.
And I'm almost getting into the window where most of the approvals I'm aware of, and so I see trees getting taken down, which I did in that Mountain View area the other day. They had a big gulch. Southern Oregon tree was taking out some really big cottonwoods or something in the gulch there. I didn't know.
That doesn't seem right because that would be a riparian protection zone.
Yeah, we
like.
Didn't have any.
Are you talking about the related construction associated with the Kestrel subdivision? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it was right around the corner from this one that we were doing. Because
yeah, you're talking about the Kestrel subdivision.
Mm-mm.
Along
so,
the
so I'm going down mountain toward
yep.
the Angus farm, right? And I turn onto this
yep.
street, and I look at the cherry tree. And so I decide to go around back and turn onto Nepenthe to go. So it's that block that's between whatever this street was and Nepenthe. In there, there's some open land.
Down by Bear Creek, right?
No.
Or what creek is that? It's
I think that's Kitchen Creek.
Is it?
Let me get it up on my map here.
Small creek.
What was the address of this property?
Oh, I gotcha. 18. No, that's the Plum Tree.
Yeah.
I'm gonna not. Oh, it's on the backside.
802.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the Plum Tree right here. So Meadowlark Way, right in here, in this kind of little gulchy area, the Southern Oregon Tree Care truck was parked right here, and there was a ton of... Now, it could have been... I didn't stop and have a conversation or have a long look. It could have been maybe there was a tree that had fallen down and they were just cleaning it up.
It also could have been they were just pruning?
No, there's some pretty major trunks on the ground, but... yeah, I'm not saying that I'm making a complaint. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying
this is happening.
That yeah, I do see this stuff. If it's something that I'm like, whoa, this is, and it's still in time. I mean, if the tree's down.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, yeah. If the tree is down, it doesn't mean oh well. There are provisions to.
Yeah,
go
I mean,
after
I brought that one to you, that was on Siskiyou Way.
Oh yeah, that might have been before, or that could have, or was it? Right there, by the hospital.
Oh, yeah, right next door to the Ashland Hostel, they cut down a huge tree.
That might have been Derek.
It was Derek. Anyway. Yeah.
But yes, if you see things, don't hesitate to call me or open contact with Andrew if it's appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's good to know that they should have a piece of paper, too, because, you know, I do occasionally miss meetings, and if they have a permit, then...
Then it's all public record, too.
Yeah.
The irony of it, had this much discussion around the 8-inch diameter plum, and they were cutting out a huge, big, I think it was incense cedar, close to Clay Creek, and anyway, I called Aaron on it. But,
well, in that particular case, it's two fairly large lots, mm-hmm. one that's vacant, one that's developed with a single-family house. Mm-hmm. It's R17, mm-hmm. okay, so you have to have a 7,500-square-foot lot for it to be minimum lot size. Which means you have to have a 15,000 square foot lot for it to be subdividable.
Gotcha.
In that particular case, you have two lots that are just about 10,000 square feet each, so you're talking about nearly a half acre of land, but they are two separate parcels that are not subdividable. It was far enough from the Water Resource Protection Zone.
Yeah.
That was exempt.
Now, they had called me to bid on it, and I thought it was preemptively because they were going to develop it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You can't, yeah.
But it's single family.
Yeah.
So even though... there was enough space for it to be subdivided, it wasn't zoned.
There wasn't enough space for it to be subdivided. That's
my
point.
Oh, I thought you said there's two 10,000.
They could build us.
There are two 10,000 square foot lots, but you would need 15,000 square feet to subdivide a lot. So you have two lots that neither one can be subdivided.
But this was a bare lot, right?
Correct.
So the and there's no planning action associated, so that would mean that it's still... Yeah, see, still learning this stuff. All right.
So we move on? Yeah, be back. The only other thing on discussion is tree deer, right?
Earth Day.
Earth Day.
Especially since we've got the...
Back to the theme of following up, there was something that came on the agenda a year, probably 2-3 years ago, the corner house of Nutley and Granite,
mm-hmm.
with the two, like, kind of oriental or Chinese warrior statues or whatever, mm-hmm. out front.
Oh, yeah.
She wanted to preserve as much of her redwoods as possible, build a new house, and move her old house down Nutley Street and kind of back it
in
below.
Yeah.
And first we didn't allow them to remove the tree, but then Southern Oregon Tree came back and like, we don't want, you know, people don't want to be working on this thing with such a huge... So we approved it. Did that and everything. And they've been leaving their house on that corner lot, which is city property. It's parkland.
Yes.
And anyone can go there and eat lunch and picnic and everything. And I just thought they were putting the house there because they needed a little wiggle room to complete the house, and then they'd pull it in. Well, it's still there, and it's mm-hmm. been like over a year. So I talked to Mike, and I said, hey, when are they going to move that house? You know, when am I going to get my little park back?
Yeah.
You know? And he said, well, you should talk to the...
So may I?
Park people, because there's talk about selling that piece of property. So just want to bring that to our attention, because that is happening. So,
her planning action that's been approved was for that Raggedy Ann cottage to be installed down below.
Yeah.
She no longer wants to do that. So she's going to have to go through a revised planning action. She is exploring with the Parks Department the possibility of buying some piece of that land to become part of her property and potentially site it up above. I don't know what the status of that negotiation is. I can tell you that present, she hasn't begun the process to modify her land use approval, which she will need to do. So right now it's kind of in this neither here nor there, but she's going to have to do something. Mm-hmm. So.
But it sounded, because I got an email back from Michael Black. He's like, don't worry, I'm charging her money. And it was sort of like, I don't care about the money. I just want my park. And but it sounded like there was a parks master plan and that there was talk about selling that land anyway. That's kind of what I gathered. I didn't actually look at the master plan, so I don't know. But that's kind of what I got from the language he was using.
So I don't know anything about the park master plan. I've never taken the time to get into it. Okay. I know she's in negotiations to try to buy a piece of that land from parks.
Okay.
Does that have to have any kind of overview by the citizens or for the park to sell off land like that?
I'm afraid I can't speak for what the Parks Commission has to do. I just don't.
Assume it would go to the
Public
you mean the council? Well, the Parks Commission would probably decide it on their own, and it wouldn't require approval of council because they're their own entity.
Oh, I understand that.
Okay.
Okay, and just for Tree of the Year, real quick, next time we meet, I'll be bringing forward all the nominations that we've collected.
You getting any more?
A couple. Yeah.
Mine.
I got yours.
And you should have at least two more because my friend Dot, I put one in for Dot, and my other friend, I'm bringing that down on next Tuesday.
They trickle in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I did an anonymous one. Did you check out that oak on a...
No,
Pretty cool. Yeah, 192 North Mountain Street. It's really cool. Two oaks. No, it's like right on the edge of the riparian area, like behind the house. It's like if you're going down North Mountain, you cross the railroad tracks, and there's that big property on your right-hand side. It's right in the draw. It's like a huge oak with this massive limb that goes out really, really far horizontally. It's a really cool oak. Or possibly two oaks. But
yeah, just behind by the city. Lot, right?
Yeah, just below there, yeah. It's really cool. Anyway. That and then the Cunninghamia, or what is it? Cunninghamia Lancelata. The tree that's related to giant sequoia on Park Street, right there on the corner, Park and Siskiyou. That's a really cool tree, too. What one did you nominate?
Is that?
No, that's like an almond.
Today's Earth Day. We got Earth Day coming up. We always do a booth. And year or two, we've joined forces with the Wildfire Commission.
That's what I hear. You want to keep that rolling?
I think that worked out for you.
That was awesome.
Rad. That
April
great.
22nd.
April 22nd. Yeah, everybody good with that?
What was the guy?
That's
Doug Cave. Yeah.
I am not going to be able to help in that one. I have a week-long workshop that week.
I'm pretty sure I'll be there setting up for a day, so I'll be able
to
do that.
I thought that was a neat team up last year.
Awesome.
Helps kinda.
So, yeah, I can tell.
Message. Sometimes people confuse trees and wildfire.
Yeah.
Coincide, so, yeah.
Awesome. I could use reminders as it gets closer, but that's Saturday, I believe. So, I can pick up the gear.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Earth Day's on Wednesday?
It's Wednesday. It's
the Earth Day celebration thing at the...
I'm just telling you what Google says.
Okay.
But the actual event at Steinsworks is probably on a Saturday. So I need to
I was
going to
say the 18th sounded... my brain thought the 18th. Is that a Saturday? The Saturday before?
I presume so.
Yeah.
I want to say it's at Steinsworks on the 18th. But that's me talking from memory, which is poor.
Yeah, it's April 18th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I'll try to remember, but I can use reminders to pick up the gear the Friday, the day before, because me and Mike ran into the house. We couldn't pick up the gear because it was Saturday.
Yeah, we usually come on the Friday.
So, and then I can set up the booth and then definitely man it for part of the day. Yeah.
Casey, you bring your bristlecone pine cutting again.
Oh, yeah, that branch.
Like 1,000 years old or something.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I got that one. I actually have another one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oregon White Oak, you can get your hands around it. It's 260-something. You can get your hand around it.
Cool.
But you can't count it with a... You have to count it with a hand lens. Oh, are we off the record or on the record?
We can get off the record if you want real quick. We're about done.
Uncle Tom, thinking about doing Kestrel Parkway there. Do you know that where Kestrel Park is?
Do you want to adjourn, Chris?
Yeah, let's adjourn. 8:14. Unless you wanting something?
Get finalized.
When are Tree of the Year recommendations or nominations, when are those done?
I've made the due date the day before the next meeting, so basically up until Wednesday, whatever the next meeting is, we'll accept nominations. Our goal is to winnow that down to the finalists at the next meeting, so basically immediately we can get the voting online and have basically a month and a half of citizen voting prior to Arbor Day, and that'll maximize the timeline.
Okay, sounds great. Cool.
The tree I nominated is on the corner of Haggerty and